number 330.
Shout the victory.
James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, so also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whichsoever the governor listed. Amen. Well, on last Sunday, we started our journey through the scriptures, our little reminiscent walk. And we looked at the book of Genesis, chapter 1 through 11, about God being our creator, and how all things centered around Christ and the salvation that he had for man, how all things centered around love, the love of God, and the love that he had for all man. Tonight, we're going to walk through Genesis chapters 12 through 37 and reminisce and understand and be reminded of those things that God speaks to us concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, in God's plan, Jesus the Christ, he was the one perfect sacrifice for sin. And he was slain, the Bible says, from the foundation of the world. And when we look at the beginning of God's plan and his fulfillment, it started out with man and it continues today with man as well. But with Abraham, God began to fulfill his gospel plan. And if you want to learn anything about Abraham in the New Testament, you can look at Romans chapter 4. It explains to us about the law and how Abraham was a man of faith and not a man of law. Romans chapter 4 goes really well and coincides with the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The story starts out with a man by the name of Terah. He took his son Abram and his nephew Lot. He left their home country in Ur of Chaldees and traveled to Haran, a journey to the land of Canaan. But as it would be told, you find in Genesis 11 that Terah died in Haran. And during the 25-year period in Abraham's life, was from age 75 to 100, God periodically appeared and he spoke to Abram and offered a covenant to him, which he accepted by faith. The Hebrew writer speaks of that continually. God asked Abram to leave Haran and to go to a land that God would show him. In exchange for leaving and going to the land that God would show him, in exchange for his faith, God promised Abram three promises. The first promise was that God would bless all families on earth through Abram. The second promise that God promised Abram that the land of Canaan would be a possession for Abram and all of his descendants. The third promise was God promised to make a great nation of all the descendants of Abram. Well, Abram, in all his righteousness and faith to God, he accepted that covenant of God, but he accepted it in three ways. He moved his family from Haran to Canaan, and by confirming the agreement according to the ways of the people at that time, he also accepted that by circumcision for all males of the family. You see, circumcision within itself was a seal, it was a token, it was a promise to fulfill God's covenant. And in that arrangement, Abraham served God by calling on God, but the firstborn male, 7 days, they had to be circumcised, their skin had to be circumcised. And as the covenant would have it, at the age of 99, Abram's name was changed by God to Abraham. At the same time, he had a wife named Sarai, and her name was changed to Sarah. That's in Genesis chapter 17. So God protected and he blessed Abram and Sarah, and even when they hid their marriage for fear that the enemies were going to take Sarah, and he knew full well that harm would come to them if he didn't tell that one lie. You find that history sometimes repeats itself because his son did the exact same thing. We'll find that on later. But God protected him even while he was in that land. He hid their marriage for fear that the enemies would take him and Sarah. and in the land of Canaan. As we move on, we find that Abraham had a nephew, that same nephew that Terah took with Abraham as he left Ur of Chaldees. His name was Lot. And Abraham and Lot were keepers of the flocks of animals. And because their flocks were too big and their men didn't agree on a whole lot of things while they lived together in the same land, they made an agreement. And Abraham allowed Lot to choose the part of the land that he wanted. And Lot chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan River. And Abraham dwelt in another part of Canaan. And Lot, he pitched his tent toward that evil city of Sodom. And the angels of God revealed to Abraham that Sodom would be destroyed because of its evil works. And the Bible tells us that Lot was tormented in that city. He was tormented because of the evil. So the angels of God revealed to Abraham that it was going to be destroyed. And Abraham asked for grace for Sodom. And he continued to ask for grace for Sodom. Even if only 10 righteous souls were found in Sodom, God would spare them. But there weren't many righteous souls in Sodom at all. So the angels found themselves visiting Sodom, and they went to the house of Lot. We find that the egregious things that happened at that time were many men came to the people of Sodom, to Lot's house, and insisted that they sleep with those men. And Lot offered his daughters in their stead that they might not have to commit this egregious crime against God in Sodom. But the proof of their sins was just too much to overcome. And because of the proof of the sins of the people of Sodom, it was destroyed. And only Lot and his daughters escaped that destruction. Even Lot's wife, who knows, perhaps desiring to go back to Sodom, she looked back. She didn't keep God's commands and was turned into a pillar of salt. But God continued to bless Abraham. Even when the kings captured Lot and his family, and Abraham took 318 men in Genesis chapter 14 and overtook those evil kings and recaptured Lot and all of his family with many goods. And Abraham recognized that it wasn't all about him and those 318 men that he went to recapture Lot, to reclaim him in the possessions of God, but it was all about God protecting him. As a result of that, he tied the tenth of all that he had to a priest by the name of Melchizedek, a priest. And we find that priest was offered a tithe before Levi was even born. God is incredible, isn't he? As we move on from chapter 14, we find that Sarah didn't have any children. And keeping with the promise, she tried to help God's promise of making a great nation of Abram by giving her a handmaiden. Ishmael was then born. But God made it clear that Ishmael was not the seed of the promise. God made it real clear that the handmaiden was not the mother to deliver the seed of God for the continuation of the promise to Abraham. So Ishmael instead became the head of the Ishmaelites. And as time moved on, Abraham became 99 years of age. And the angels of God visited with him and with Sarah and reminded him of the promise that they would be parents of a great nation. Both were beyond childbearing age, yet God's messengers told them the next year a son named Isaac would be born, Genesis chapter 18. And just as the angel said, Isaac was born the next year, and Abraham was 100 years old. You know, God is incredible. You know, when we look through the ages and we find the things that God has done in our lives just to save our lives. Man, 100 years old, from his loins sprung a descendant of Christ, Isaac, from the bosom of Abraham. And Abraham loved this son in his old age. And yet God told Abraham that we're going to see just how much you love me. So he told him to sacrifice his son, going to offer a sacrifice. And Abraham took Isaac to the land of Moriah and prepared to offer the life of his son to God. But God, in all his wisdom, he prevented the sacrifice and provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice for the life of Isaac. And because of Abraham's obedience, it pleased God. And God renewed the covenant of the three promises to Abraham. His descendants would be a great nation. They would inherit the land of Canaan, and the seed of all nations of the earth would be blessed. Soon after, we find Sarah. She dies. And Abraham sent his servant to Ur of Chaldees to take his wife, to take a wife for Isaac of the people there rather than marry a woman of Canaan. And he did. Isaac's servant met a lady by the name of Rebekah. And as we walk through these names, it's important that we understand where they stand at in the history of the story of God, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah. A relative from the family of Abraham. She was a willing servant that demonstrated to him that God had led him to the right place and the right family, and she agreed to leave her family and to make the long journey to Canaan to marry Isaac. You see, we overlook that when we think about the story of Ruth and Naomi all the time. Rebekah decided to leave her land as well and go and marry Isaac. And when Isaac was 40 years old, Isaac and Rebekah were married. And he loved Rebekah and was confident after the death of his mother, Sarah, Genesis 24 tells us, because he loved his mother so as well. But the marriage to Rebekah gave him some comfort in the love that he so desired. And at the age of 175 years old, listen to me, 175 years old, Abraham died. And he was buried in the cave at Machpelah, which he had purchased as a burial place for his wife, Sarah. He died and was buried. Now, in the meantime, Rebekah, she had two twin boys, right, for Isaac. And God revealed to Rebekah that her sons would lead two nations, and the elder son would serve the younger son. Esau was the firstborn. The second was Jacob. He took hold of Esau's heel at birth. His name means the one who supplants, the one who takes the place of one that belongs to another. And Esau grew up to be a skilled hunter, and Isaac loved him. And Jacob was a dweller in tents, and he was the favorite of his son, Rebekah. So we see a mother loves one, a father loves the other, and so goes on to the story. As Isaac's family grew, God blessed Isaac and renewed the covenant that he made earlier with his father, Abraham. During a famine, God asked Isaac to have the faith to remain in Canaan so that God could bless him. The three promises, the land promise, the great nation promise, and the blessing of all nations were renewed to Isaac. And when Esau, as well, was 40 years old, he married as well. But he married two wives, and both of those wives were from the land of Canaan, it tells us in Genesis chapter 26. And marrying those two wives from the land of Canaan displeased his mother, Rebekah. So we find things kind of kindling. It displeased Rebekah, and it kind of sets up the next few things that's going to happen. So Isaac became old and blind, and he prepared to give his birthright, his blessing, to his oldest son, Esau. And Isaac asked Esau to kill and prepare venison, and afterwards, Isaac will give Esau the blessing. And Rebekah, the mother that was disturbed, she overheard that. So while Esau was hunting, Rebekah developed a plan for Jacob to receive a blessing of Isaac. She prepared venison, covered Jacob with hairy skin similar to Esau's hairy complexion, and sent Jacob to Isaac. And Jacob deceived Isaac and received Isaac's blessing to go with the birthright previously brought from Esau for a mere pittance of food. When Esau returned to learn the deception of Rebekah and Jacob, he was angry. And he was so angry, he determined to kill his brother, and that anger lasted for years upon end. In response, Rebekah encouraged Isaac to send Jacob back to the homeland of Abraham to take a wife and family of Abraham rather than from the people of Canaan. You see, what they were honoring and why God was so pleased with them is that they understood the vows that they made to God when God said, don't take any women from that land to be your wives. But Esau did just that. So as Jacob traveled from that land to find his wife, he met God in a dream. And God renewed the same covenant he had made with Abraham and Isaac. And God gave Jacob the same three things: the land promise, the great nation promise, and the blessing of all nations. In Haran, Jacob met Laban, the brother of Rebekah. And Jacob labored 20 years with Laban. He loved Rachel, Laban's daughter. And he worked 7 years for the right to marry Rachel. But just as he deceived his father, Laban deceived Jacob. In the place of Rachel, she was supplanted by her older sister. Her name was Leah. And Leah was given to Jacob as his wife. And Jacob then worked another 7 years for the right to marry Rachel. And then for 6 years after that, Jacob worked for the wages of cattle for Laban. And whatever he put his hands to do, God blessed Jacob. In the 20 years, there were 11 sons born to Jacob. 11 sons. Imagine that. After 20 years, Jacob took his wives, his children, his servants, and his cattle, and he left Laban and Haran to return to Canaan. And on his way to Canaan, he thought about his brother and how he might have to meet him and what he was going to say and what he was going to do because he had deceived his brother. But time eased that anger of Esau. And Jacob didn't know because he only feared his brother, for he knew he had done him wrong. But when he met Esau, he sent a grove of men beforehand to give him gifts so that he wouldn't have to kill him. But he received them with thanksgiving and certainly with gladness. And he received them what we call the natural brotherly love. See, sometimes we live our lives and things happen between brothers that simply will seem to never be resolved. But if we're Christians, if we're God's people, we're going to find that in time, if we just lean on God, that those things are going to be resolved. Especially if we have a repentant heart and the will to repent and make things right. Some people just don't have that will to make things right. So he forged on because he was promised by God that he would be a great nation. So the night before he met with Esau, we find what was called Jacob wrestling with God. And his hip was broken as a result of that, wrestling with God. And in that struggle, he demanded a blessing from God, and the messenger told Jacob that God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. Israel. So after many years, Jacob, now named Israel, returned to the land of Canaan with his whole family. And God again renewed those promises of the covenant, the land promise, the nation promise, and the blessing of all nations promise. And in Canaan, Jacob's 12th son, Benjamin, was born in the land of Canaan. Thus, the 12 sons of Israel, who became the fathers of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, were in the land of Canaan. We find ourselves looking at a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one named Jesus the Christ, God's Son and our Savior, whom God delivered to us on this earth, and he gave that same Jesus Christ a land promise. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm going to establish a place that you can dwell, that you will never, ever have to leave. God gave this Jesus the nation promise, for the nation of Israel is God's people. We are the new Israel. And God gave this Jesus the blessing of all nations as a promise. God promised, even as he was leaving this earth, that he wanted us to go and preach the gospel to all nations. And in preaching that gospel, all nations would be blessed through Christ. Just as from the beginning with a man named Abram down to that man named Jesus Christ, God gave them the opportunity to understand that he delivers us for the purpose of salvation. So from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those things that happened in between, God still fixed it that we might see Jesus. We might see him as our Savior and our Deliverer. And that we might receive those same promises that he gave to Abram in the long ago. The question tonight is, do we understand that promise? Do we understand that the promise has been fulfilled in and as Jesus Christ? And do we accept it and vow to continue to serve God in faith in all things that we do and say? You see, this is the story of God. And the story starts in the book of Genesis, from creation to the land of Babel we covered in the first lesson. And now we're going from the land of Babel to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God from the very beginning is the same God that he was then as he is now. And God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But God is faithful in all things, not wanting men to die, but that they might come into repentance. And that's what this is all about. It's about God delivering us from sin and from ourselves, in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And that thread of Jesus Christ runs from the very beginning of the book, and as you see on each Sunday night, that thread is going to be followed from chapter to chapter, from book to book, from verse to verse, and they all spell out one thing: Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And I'm certain that reviewing these stories and understanding God's will for our lives will refresh our minds and our souls and help us deeply to teach other people about who God is in our lives. If we can help you tonight to continue to do the things that God has called you to do, why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
Oh, do not let the word depart.